see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watching for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gambo. I am your host. And welcome today, this afternoon, Thursday, the 9th of April, 2015. And you're welcome. I already said that, didn't I? Family, 2 hours this afternoon. I'm going to cover some very, very, very controversial subjects today. But then again, those of you that know me, what else is new? But next couple days, Thursday, Friday, today, tomorrow, very, very, very controversial. And I'm going to take a video, probably tomorrow, and a very good video, actually, 15 minutes long, and break it down. And in this video, this couple does a very good rendition of what's happening to the children. And they have many questions. What I want to do is take the video with their permission, hopefully. I hope I hear from them. And break it down and answer the questions. As anybody could do. You know, I mean, you sit down, you say, well, I'll just answer the questions. And then you take my answers and do what you want to with them, whatever. Nobody knows it all. No way, no how, not possible, unless you're God. There's only one God. So that pretty much leaves us all out. You know. Yeah. Now, if you want to have multiple gods, have at it. You know, go do what you want. It's a free will situation. How's your God working for you? I mean, what does he look like? Have you designed him properly? And have you got the right criteria for your God that you've created? You know, apparently some people have. I don't know. Everybody wants to create their own God. So, have at it, you know. They did in Egypt. Greece, they created their own gods. I don't think it worked out too well for them, but they tried anyway. The Jews, when they separated from God, they created their own. Muslims created their own. Everybody's creating their own God. How's it working for you? You know, it's called placating. You know, just invent your own God. Kind of like Legos. But how does that work for you? I mean, does he answer your prayers? Does he give you Christmas presents? Or how does he work? You know, he heals you whenever you pray to him? Or you have to leave cookies and milk at the doorstep or something? I mean, what is it? How does it work? I mean, you can write it in anytime you want, whatever you want. But don't mean it's going to work. Family, there's only one God. And that God, that one God that created this one universe, is not about any religion, not even Christianity. Jesus Christ is not about any religion. Now, how dare you say that? He's about Christianity. Really? Well, I challenge you then to find which one, and please tell me, I don't know, which one of the 41,000 sects of Christianity does he represent? So you find me, please, I'm looking for a God now. You find me which one of the 41,000 that perfectly fits God of the Bible or God that created this universe. Which one of the 41,000 is the real one? Will the real one stand up, please? Then you tell me. Now, that's not counting Muhammad and Buddha and Timbuktu, Kalamazoo, wherever, that made up whatever in some other country. I ain't counting them. We're just talking Christianity. 41,000. And they're all different in one way or another, from Baptist to Methodist to Mormonism to Jehovah's Witnesses, and then you got another, you know, 39,900 and some odd to go, you know, of other, just pick one. One Baptist over here says you must be merged and must be baptized, and you're going to hell. It don't matter anything else. Over here says, well, you don't have to. You know, they all got different beliefs in the Baptist system. That's just Baptist. You know, you got Methodist and Presbyterian, you got Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormon. I love Mormon. You know why? Because I can hear myself a planet. I always wanted my own planet. I mean, wouldn't you? I'd want my planet. I want, do you want a planet? I want a planet, so I'd be a Mormon, all right? But if I get tired of that and don't get my planet soon enough, maybe I could just, I don't know, be a little bit of Buddha there, something. Mix it in a little bit. I don't know. Would that be okay? How's that work? Just plug in what you want, right? Your own homemade God, like Legos, modeling clay. Now, I don't think the real God creator is going to go with that, but because there's coming a time for reckoning. For real. It's called judgment. And it's coming. For every human being that's ever lived on the face of this planet since Adam and Eve till God pulls the curtains. It's every human being that's ever lived. Dead now will be brought back to life. Family, there's no escaping. Not whatsoever. None. No human will ever escape judgment. It ain't going to happen. You remember the days when you were in the fifth grade or fourth grade or third grade, whatever? Maybe you don't do that now. I don't know. Oh no, you won't. This is aging me. I just realized it. Oh, I should have shut up when I was ahead. You know, in the days when I was young, you had different assignments. You'd clean the erasers. You'd take the trash. You'd clean the green board. Boy, I am aging myself. I should have been quiet. Anyway, here we go. And so, toward the end of the week, you give an assignment, and you just really, really don't want to have to go up front and wash that doggone blackboard. You know, it's so embarrassing, and you got to sit there and do it. People throwing spitwads at you. You just don't like doing that, man. Taking the trash out is not a problem because you make yourself slow. And that way, you know, you can always be on a head start when the bell rings and you're leaving. So you want to, okay, I need someone to wash the blackboard. And you start sulking down your seat. Maybe I haven't done it in a month. I don't want to be seen. So you suck down in the seat so they can't see your head. But that doggone teacher keeps a roster. Darn it. Doggone it. And she can't see what she's looking for. So she looks on that doggone roster and said, Tom Gamble? Oh, doggone it. You come clean the blackboard. Couldn't escape. Well, there's no sulking down in the seat with God. He's going to every single human being. The judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne. And there's no in between. Family, it's coming. And if those die before that real judgment comes, your eternity is already set. It's either heaven or hell. Family, you just don't sit around at Starbucks in the supernatural world waiting for some kind of purgatory thing going down. That's going to happen. When you die, it's set, man. You're in the supernatural, and you're going to go where your soul has led you without Jesus to hell. With Jesus to heaven. Any questions? That's it. Whether it's timely, untimely, or whatever timely it may be, or old age, I don't know. But when you die, it's set, it's done. So it's not a matter of waiting for the end times and the Matthew 25 to happen, the eschatology and all that stuff going on. If you die in a car crash, it doesn't matter what happens in the end time events. Your eternity has been set. That's it. So now's the time to get ready for it. And don't wait. And quit, you know, I mean, goodness gracious, people argue about the rapture. And I'm a pre-tribber. Really? No, I'm a post-trib. There's no such thing as pre-trib rapture. Uh-huh. Well, now both of y'all, I forgot about you there in the middle, pre-wrath. Mid-trib. Yeah, I forgot about you. Excuse me. Oh, you over in the corner over there. That there's no rapture. Okay. Can y'all tell me when the tribulation is going to be? I can guarantee you not one of them can tell you. So why are you arguing over pre-trib, mid-trib, pre-wrath, post-millennialism, predestination, all that stuff when you don't even know what's going to happen? You position yourselves. I'm a pre-tribber. I'm a post-tribber. When's the trib? Silence. Don't know. So why are you arguing over something you don't even know? And by the time you figure out, I'm a pre-tribber, it's going to be too late in the twinkling of an eye. You can't even say wait before you're gone. Or stuck. Well, am I wrong or what? I mean, if I'm wrong, man, tell me. Shoot. If you think for 1 minute there, Jews, that God's going to go on some date of blood moons, blue moons, green moons, or whatever moons you all think about, our festivals and trumpets and all that, it ain't going to happen. It's going to be when the man of sin is revealed and the falling away. That's what's going to happen. God don't go on some moon or doesn't go on some festival. It's already taking place. Festival of Tabernacles is going to happen in the thousand-year tribulation. The thousand-year millennial. That's the last one. So there's some people out there who better wake up. Let's pray. Lord, thank you today. We come together in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Father, today we come before you, lifting up this program and, Father, these Bible studies we do. Father, we lift them up to you in your honor. Father, to lead us, please, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, to guide us. Show us the truth, Lord. And those, Father, that's got their own studies, that, Father, you'll lead them. And, Father, we all become a family working together, that none of us have all the answers, but you do. Father, we're praying today for our families. We're praying for friends, and we're praying for those, Lord, that we know the Spirit's moving in their hearts. Father, you've caused infirmities, and you've different people, you've created events and situations in their lives that's going to bring them to you, because you know only what everybody needs. But Lord, to give us in the divine appointments the words to speak to bring others to Jesus. Father, we know the times of testing is going to come. We know the trials and tribulations are going to happen. But Father, to give us the strength and courage, wisdom, discernment that we need to get through these times and end events, that we can help others. And Father, to strengthen our own resolve and to strengthen our own faith. And sometimes we may falter, some of us, and Lord, to put us on back on the right track with your conviction. To trouble our hearts when we fall away and reward us in our spirits when we glorify you. In all these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, today and tomorrow, I'm going to cover some extremely controversial subjects. And it is going to include some historical background. And some historical background you are absolutely not going to like. But family, to understand why the schools are doing what they're doing to our kids, to understand why the political system is operating as it is, to understand why the military is doing what it's doing at the highest level, you got to know the background. If you don't, you're forever and a day going to be asking the same old questions round in a circle, round in a circle, round in a circle. Same thing on the talk shows, round circle, round circle, round circle, and nobody's ever going to come to an answer. There is an answer. But you got to know what the real conspiracy consists of. If you're belonging to a secret society, you're already in the backdraft, man. You're already lost. Because you have a self-serving desire. You have a blood oath that's keeping you tied down and enslaved. You are enslaved. When you're a Freemason, you're under the blood oath that you can't say certain things or do certain things, even think certain things. Right? Not allowed. Certainly can't say anything. So you're restricted. You're a slave. A slave to a blood oath in the name of God. Of one that 33rd degrees don't even believe in. So that's a conflict right there. So help me God, and you keep that secret, so help me God, yet you don't believe in God. Huh. Because Jesus is God incarnated. So if you take an oath in the name of God, and at the Scottish Rite, 33rd degree, you don't believe in God, yet you take an oath in the name of God. How does that work? I don't understand that. How is that? Anyway. And then if you are a Christian, like a York Rite or something like that, and you take a blood oath in the name of God, and you are asked to do something against God, he got you, man. You're like a squirrel in the middle of the road. And you got cars going both ways, and you're stuck on the yellow line, and you're wondering which one's going to go squish you. How about that, huh? Because it got you. You do what they tell you to do, like turn the other way, look the other way when the contract is coming, it should be given to someone else, so you have to lie to somebody, or you're getting ready to mess somebody over because you have their tax records. They want to get rid of this guy, and they're asking you to provide his personal information, which you can't do. But you have to because you took a blood oath to do so anyway. Oh, this is constant. I got a 4-page dissertation to show you how Freemasons ruin a person in detail. You got good people in the Freemasons, third, first, second, third degree, that don't know what they got themselves into until they find out later. It's too late because you're brainwashed. So what do you do then? Do the right thing or do the other thing? Either way, you're doomed. Doesn't matter what you do, you're doomed no matter what you do. You go against the Masons, you're going to get blackballed. You go against God, you're going to hell. So, do the math. How about that? So there's a way out. Is renounce the blood oath and do the right thing. Now you may just very well incur the wrath of man. What does that mean? Lose your job. I know for an absolute fact. I've experienced it where you lose your job if you don't become a Freemason. I know it very well. I belong to a company that was a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. I didn't find that out until later. And I refused to be a Freemason when I lived in Chicago about 7 years ago. Asked me 3 times to be a Freemason. I said, I can't do that. And I was a manager, a good paying job as a old BP oil refinery contractor, manager for a security company in BP oil refinery in Indiana. And he asked me 3 times to be a Freemason. I said, no, I can't do that. And then when I finally left the job 2 months later, it became unbearable to work there. I found out the company, Garsmark, was a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. It was a member of the Illuminati. I said, Lord, what did you do to me? You threw me smack dab in the pit of snakes. They got to have you to be a Freemason, take the blood oath, so you'll do what they tell you to do that may go against God. At the same time, they claim, well, we worship God too. Huh? What? Run by me again slowly? It's messy. So I just said, heck, well, I quit. And I just took the bumps and bruises and went on. I'm not giving my soul to nobody but God. That's a non-negotiable issue. Family, today, I guess I'm talking some just to decide right now. Because what I've got to talk to you all about is not going to make me a lot of friends, which I don't really care anyway, but It's deep history, but it lays a groundwork for the black folk and the white folk to know why you are where you are and why your relatives, your ancestors, raised you the way you are now. I can tell you why. Exactly why. It may be something you don't want to hear. And I mean this straight. Because what has been done in America is absolutely horrific. I did not say terrific by no stretch of anybody's imagination. Quite opposite. Horrific of what we've done in America since 1611. And that has everything to do with what's going on in Ferguson. It's got everything to do with what's going on in Bundy Ranch. Everything to do with the New World Order that's getting ready to happen and why you look at things the way you do today is based on some of the things I'm going to say today and tomorrow. I don't know what else to do. I can't follow in line with everybody else. I just, you know, when I could sit here and talk about Jade Helm and, you know, and all the troops deploying in the Southwest and New World Order and FEMA camps and all that, Agenda 21. I could go on and on and on about that, and you're not going to learn anything new. I'd be fulfilling their agenda to scare the dickens out of you anyway. Because then you start, you know, panicking out, because what everybody wants to do is what a moth does when he sees a flame. He goes straight to the flame instead of saying, well, that's a flame. I ain't going there. Flames attract moths. And the moth burn up. That's how we do it. We go to the danger for fear. And then smack dab in the fear to destruction. I don't understand that nowadays, but that's the way it works. I identify the problem, and then I try to find a way to alleviate it, eliminate it, make it move, change it, or destroy it. Not just fall into it. That's my attitude. It's to dissect it and defeat it. Or just plain deal with it. That's just me, though. I mean, what can I say? Do how you want to do. But my idea is to analyze it. As a security specialist, I see to analyze the threat and find ways around it, through it, under it, or just blow it up and move it out of the way. But get rid of it. And sometimes if you can't get rid of it, then you just find the grace to deal with it. And then get rid of it. But in any case, it's not to be afraid of it, but to own it, you see. Don't matter who's throwing it at you. It don't matter. Greater is he in you than who's not. Greater is he in you than in the rest of the world. The greater one is in you. Through Jesus Christ. So what have you got to fear? And this guy at Lake Royal Lake, whatever, in Florida, when it says, who to fear when you got Thor on your side? This is an adult saying this in a council meeting, praying about Thor. With Thor for you, who could be against you? This isn't a prayer in a council meeting. Adults are saying this. Not, they didn't bring a 16-year-old in to do a prayer for the commissioners meeting. Have we lost our minds as human beings? We got Krishna, Thor, Satan, Zeus, all one prayer in a council meeting before it starts. What in the world? And Allah and Satan all in the same prayer. I'm sure y'all have heard that prayer before. I'm not going to play it now. Do y'all see the insanity in all this? And they weren't playing around. This is actual prayer that they... That's right. That brings me to a point. I might as well bring that up then. Now to think about it. No, I didn't have too much coffee. I just got a lot on my mind. I want to get out. Y'all don't mind, do you? Wiccan to give invocation at Iowa House of Representatives. Wiccan priestess to give invocation to an Iowa House, first in the nation. House of Representatives. Wiccan invocation. Then the Idaho state invocation protested by lawmakers because of Hindu prayer. Atheist delivers invocation at Lenore City Council meeting in Tennessee. Pagan, despite not being asked to give invocation, recites a prayer to Satan during a school board meeting. Atheist to offer invocation in New York town at the Center of Public Prayer case. In Lake Worth, there it is, Florida, an atheist invocation offered thanks to Allah, Zeus, Satan, Buddha, Krishna, and Thor, all in one prayer. Satanic prayer will open Florida Town Council meeting if Chez Stevens has his way. And last but not least, Indiana lawmakers announced proposed religious law changes. Man, they are hitting it with all four barrels on a two-barrel shotgun. I'm going to tell you, I've been keeping track of these, and this is just ones I've heard of. I've been keeping track of it, trying to keep track of what these folks are doing, what they're up to. Hinduism is the same darn thing, no different than Wicca and all the rest of them. And it's all part of the New Age movement. Take you away from Jesus Christ. A Wiccan priestess has been invited to give invocation to the Iowa House of Representatives. On April the 9th, Deborah Maynard, whatever, a member of the People's Church in Unitarian Universalist, will travel to Des Moines to deliver her blessing. Really? Unitarian? Now, where have I heard that there before? I'll tell you where. Brought Chris home. Was director of the United Nations World Health Organization in 1948 to 1953. And that's when the takedown of America began. Straight out. Brought Chisholm. He said, and I quote, "To achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family traditions, national patriotism, and religious dogmas," unquote. Well, here's my point. He was a Unitarian. I didn't say vegetarian. I said Unitarian. And so is this Wiccan. From the People's Church Unitarian Universalist. Well, la-di-da-da. Huh? How about those apples? How about that? How about that bobbing apple on a Halloween night? Your church had a Halloween night lately in October? Baptists have Halloweens? That's a trick question. You better not answer. If your church has a Halloween, you're celebrating Satan. So bob on those apples. You see, we've been given traditions to favor Lucifer. We use Harry Potter books in Bible studies to train kids how to work together. Isn't that nice? They forget the part. Working together is always good. They just forget the part that you're using warlocks and witchcraft to show them how to do it. How stupid is that? I mean, come on now, really. Yet they're doing it. Man, we're heading down a rocky road. And the rituals, the education, the politics, has become ritualized to the point that we're oblivious to it. In a very well-crafted, psychologically manipulative system, second to none. Well, that'd be about right because there aren't any more. So in any case, unless you're on another planet, because it is worldwide, Tavistock. But don't forget about the Miss America pageant, and don't forget about the Dancing with the Stars. That's important. And Hilton Head, the golfing is important. And baseball's coming up. That's a Masonic sport. The baseball diamond is a Masonic logo on the field. Did you know that? Doubleday was a Freemason. So you're playing Mason baseball for the pennant. If it's not a pennant, it's a Super Bowl. If it's a Super Bowl, it's a World Cup. Every single season's got some sport to keep you busy. And then if it's not that, it's professional wrestling. It's already scripted out anyway. It's called Blood Games. Part of the Iron Mount Report. This is amazing what they've got set up. It's absolutely incredible, the program. But nobody questions it. Give me more blood. Daddy, we'll be going tonight. We're going to see the Christians get eaten by lions. Oh, goody. Okay. All right. So 1989, 1990, 2000, we'll be going tonight, Daddy. We're going to see the Thunderbolt kid to fight the lightning striker, whatever. Oh, can we see some good blood? Sure we can. And the other side of it's going to be mixed martial arts. Blood everywhere in a cage match. Ah, to the death. Can somebody tell me the difference? That is 100% exactly the purpose of every one of it, every bit of it. Keep you busy. Is Jesus Christ there? Nope. Not a lick of difference. Hunger Games, baby. Hunger Games. And I'm not talking about a buffet either. Or all you can eat hot dog in a festival. No. George Brock Chisholm, in a speech given at the Conference of Education, Alsamar, California, on Guess When. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Where's that card? I could play that. I ain't going to play it. That's silly. Guess what date Brock Chisholm said the following speech. To achieve world government, it's necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas, unquote. And how do you do that? How do you remove all of those things from our minds when you're about 60 years old, 50, 40, 30? You don't. You start when they're a child, 5 years old. It's called, first grade. They still have first grade? Yeah. It's called first grade. So for 12 more years, beginning in the 1970s, 60s actually, they set out to remove from the minds of children their individualism, to remove from the minds of children loyalty to family traditions, to remove from the minds of children the national patriotism, and last but not least, to remove from the minds of children all these religious dogmas. So what date do you think he said that in education conference, Alsamar, California? Think about it for a minute. What date do you think? What date? Are you ready for this? September the 11th, 1954. It began. It's planned long before that. Family, they needed to have individualism. They needed to have loyalty to family tradition. They needed to have patriotism. And needed to have religious dogmas in place before the 1950s. You know why? Because the generations in between 1900 AD and 1954, 50 years, they fought two world wars, revolutions. They need to have all those characteristics in the culture to foment those wars. Or you wouldn't have fought them. You wouldn't have cared. Family, do you understand the evil I'm talking about here? And so when these wars were over, it's now time to remove it so we can bring these now into a new world order where they'll have no more of this national sovereignty, religious dogmas, family tradition. To destroy the country, You must destroy the family. Unquote. Vladimir Lenin, student of Adam Weishaupt. Oh, this is a... Edward Bernays, Sigmund Freud. They worked this out at Tavistock. This is how it's done. You, baby boomers, were targeted in 1954. So it was no surprise when they confirmed that between 1952 and 1954, you ever got your polio vaccines? Remember that? That little thing, ow, that burn, that hurt like a dickens. And you still got a scar there, right? Yeah, well, 30 to 90 million Americans received inside their vaccine cancer cells by design, kind of like playing Russian roulette. That's a fact. Now, remember the little trick I told y'all this past week? You don't believe I mean it? While I'm talking, you look it up on your internet if you dare, and you find out whether I'm telling the truth or not. And behold. And then, 1952, so born in 1945, baby boomer, 1955, baby boomer. So you figure about 10 more years, 15 years, they're going to be teenagers, right? We'll kill the rest of them through Vietnam, called Agent Orange. More cancer. Then we're going to inundate them with drugs. We're going to get God. God's dead. Nonsense. And that's what happened. Well, I got 15 things here. I never know how much people want to know about what I've discovered, but I got 15 ways they came after you, baby boomers. The CIA funded feminism. Destroy the family. They funded the racial war. Destroy the family. They funded anti-war demonstrators and trained them before the Vietnam vets came back. And they said, now be at the airports in San Francisco. Be at the airports in L.A. Y'all practice? They would go to coliseums and practice spitting at the troops, practice yelling things, to kill the morale. Family, 168,000 doggone suicides later from 1975 and 2015 is a result of this. Of an ungrateful nation with the servicemen going over there to fight communists. Don't blame the soldiers and Marines. They went over there thinking they're fighting for our country, which we were lied to. We did not. Blame the Council of Foreign Relations, if you want to blame them. Blame your Joint Chief of Staff cowards up there that are Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus. That's the enemy, because they know what they're doing. To destroy patriotism, they hired the anti-war demonstrators. Didn't happen in World War II, did it? No. Watch this. You want to get them to go to Vietnam and volunteer, right? Fight the commies for Christ. Mm-hmm. So you got to get them into a gun culture. Promote guns. Cap pistols. Johnny Humal weapons. And oh, I had all mine. Oh, yeah. Butch Cassidy, Sundance Kid kind of thing. That was later anyway, excuse me. Had John Wayne movies and Green Beret, John Wayne was a doggone cotton picking Freemason. Clint Eastwood, same thing. Their role, Roy Rogers, Dale Evans, she's the Eastern Star. Roy Rogers was a Freemason. Audie Murphy, Freemason. To get us motivated, want to go over there and kick their butt. Who? Whoever it is, we don't care. We got a war, let's go. Why? Because I like Audie Murphy. John Wayne, Green Beret. You know, let me tell you something. Before JFK Oof, technical problem there. Before JFK, when he took presidency, they... created the Green Berets. Oh, they were real Green Berets, too. Super soldiers. In that late 50s, early 60s, before we were really deployed, they had Green Berets over there already. These were super soldiers, real Green Berets. You understand? They could do anything. They never expected them to come back alive. Matter of fact, they planned on them never coming back alive. Then, of course, JFK, he authorized it, but he changed. There's five things he changed in to get us out of Vietnam, stop the building of the atomic energy plant in Dimona, Israel, get rid of the Federal Reserve, get rid of the CIA, found our money on silver certificate. He's going to dismantle the entire operation. So was Martin Luther King. So was Bobby Kennedy. And then, so they wouldn't have, and Malcolm X even was supposed to have a radical black group. When he came back, he said, no, Islam is not radical. It destroyed everything they had planned, those four men. And that's why the Pentagon and the Freemasons assassinated Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, JFK, Bobby Kennedy, because they... and we're not working with them. Anyway, that's the long story, really, really short. I covered a lot of ground right there, by the way. And each, I could do a program on all four of them, but nevertheless, those were four brave men. Four of them were. I don't agree with Malcolm X's politics, but I respect his truthfulness. I respect the fact when he went over to Saudi Arabia, he said, wait a minute, you know, you lied to us. He came back, changed his whole attitude. The Illuminati plans went, psst, and the Jesuits went, psst, down the drain. That's not the point. As a side trail. JFK was going to pull us out of Vietnam instead of bringing us back in. He changed his mind. Kennedy, you can't do that. I'm going to do it. Well, actually, see, he couldn't do it. But they couldn't tell him he couldn't do it because he was the president, and so the facade... the lie that the president is the most powerful man in the world and finger on the nuclear trigger and all that. He has no power at all with the corporation. But they couldn't tell him that and they couldn't show him that in public view. So they had to kill him as a sacrifice. Well, here's the point. The point is, the Green Berets started coming back. Uh-oh. Oh, what are we going to do with them? Because they were super patriots. Like Chris Kyle. They didn't want to have these super patriots coming back and maybe going against the New World Order by the late 60s, 72. What do we do with them? We're getting them back. We trained them too good. That was a problem. Agent Orange caused the cancer. Barrels for Agent Orange was used as shower heads. Can you imagine that? How evil that was? And that means the generals authorized it? Now you see why my disdain? Few lying generals out there? Man, you're totally evil. Man. And the own generals that are not part of your evil match, they don't say nothing because they'll lose their retirement. But you generals that are under the blood oath, you know what I'm talking about, right? Your day is coming. Your judgment will be so harsh. When God judges you and all the good deeds you ever do won't matter to a hill of beans. God's got a special place in hell for you. Same thing for preachers that are part of this agenda. Lead people away from Jesus. God's got a special place in hell for you too. That's actually the truth. For those that kill the soul, Oh, God have mercy on yours. For the evil that you plan, you have no idea. In any case, that's what's been going on in our background. But now it goes a long way back. And before I get to talking right here, which I already started talking, I can see right now I'm going to go into part two tomorrow. There's no doubt about that. For the next hour, I'm going to talk to how they set up the slaves. Because you see, you white folk, you black folk, and you American folk with an American citizenship, you are slaves since 1929. So what I'm getting ready to tell you about has been done on every American citizen in this country without you knowing about it. And they practiced on the blacks. But you whites, you've been the same kind of slaves and didn't even know it. They've used exactly the same methodology and same technique that was briefed in the year 1711, has been used on you right up to 2015. They've just modified it based on the technology, the political, economic situation, religious situation, readjusting it every year and every generation to fit their plan for New World Order. So I'm going to give you the basic principle of it. Because you literally are slaves today since 1929 in a bank collateral. Every American citizen, bonded, slave, with a birth certificate. That's what that's all about. There's no other reason for a birth certificate except to bond you as a slave beginning in 1929. That would be your grandmother, great-grandmother. Yeah. And whoever is born, what's this, the 9th of April, 2015. If it was a child born tonight somewhere in America, he's already a slave, bonded under $1 million in his birth certificate, Social Security number, held in Switzerland. This fraud was set up by Colonel Mandel House and Woodrow Wilson in the mid-20s. I've got the quotes from Woodrow Wilson's diary. And it stands today. So you baby boomers, did you know you're worth about $350 million? They didn't tell you that, did they? Bonded to pay your debts off because it took us off the gold standard, FDR. Took us off the silver standard, Nixon. So to pay off your debt as slaves, technically they use the money from your account. But they don't. They make you still pay your debts from the money they give you for working off the national debt. They didn't tell you all that, did you, in school? Nuh-uh. So, you've been treated as slaves and didn't even know it. I mean, literally. And you are traded on the stock market. John Jones, Social Security number, birth certificate. You're bought and paid for by other countries that buy into your block of so many citizens. And they own you. They just haven't told us that yet. Some people learned it in 2010. One named Cain would go around, a guy named Cain, he was one of the sovereign citizen guys, and he was briefing people how to draw off on that money. Accept it for value. Then by 2006. So by 2010, the government figured, IRS said, we got to stop this. This is not good. They're figuring this out. So they murdered Cain and his 16-year-old son and shut it down, the lectures he's given, because it was working. Kane. Look it up. I know my history. So as I move in to tell you how this works. I'll start here. Did you know that few parents of public school children realize that one of the most primary engineers of today's godless public school philosophy was a God-hating, family-hating, immoral, sick-minded communist named George Brock Chisholm? Miss Lowcrawler died in 1971. He's a Unitarian, which is the same as Wiccans are. It goes along with Horace Mann and John Dewey, some other godless individuals. Oh, by the way, John Dewey was American father of American education, 1917. Horace Mann was before him, another godless individual who was a father of American education, named Horace Mann. That's a fact. Now, did I tell y'all I hold back a little bit every now and then? Anyway, so Dr. Chisholm, he is the first head of the World Health Organization. He laid the blame for war and human conflict squarely at the feet of parents and Sunday school teachers who, from the beginning, fed their children the poisonous certainties of the Bible. Say what? That's what he said. He said, quote, "Can we identify the reasons why we fight wars? Many of them are easy to list. Prejudice, isolationism, the ability to emotionally and uncritically believe unreasonable things." 1946, he said, and I quote, "When the other infectious diseases were attacked at the preventive level, some martyrs had to be sacrificed to the cause of humanity because reactionary forces fought back and ignorant superstition, moral certainties, resisted through anti-reform organizations, religious and political pressure groups, even political parties." Now, if you knew what this world's been through, what America has been held back on, oh my gosh. You see, the new leaders in the psychiatric field proposed to re-educate the world's population using psychological procedures to create a new breed of amoral men who will accept a one-world socialistic government. And they hold the weapon of commitment to a mental institution over the heads of those reactionaries who actually rebel at accepting the new social order. Dr. Brock Chisholm, he was the first head of this organization called World Health Organization. That's what they're for. He said in October 1945 in Washington, D.C., to a very large group of psychiatrists, headhunters, high officials in government, said, and I quote, "What basic psychological distortion can be found in every civilization of which we know anything? The only psychological force capable of producing these perversions is morality, the concept of right and wrong. The reinterpretation and eventual eradication of the concept of right and wrong are the belated objectives of nearly all psychotherapy." Okay. If the race is to be freed from its crippling burden of good and evil, it must be psychiatrists who take the original responsibility. Any questions about the psychotropic drugs now? He said on September 11th, 1954, in Alsamar also, in another speech, part of it, he said, quote, "The people who have been taught to believe whatever they were told by their parents or their teachers are the people who are the menace to the world," unquote. Man. We have been behind, we have been targeted a long time ago, baby boomers. So, that's why every college, every public school, every university secretly has been a school of humanism, Marxism, and amoral practices behind the background that none of us really knew. Working in the background to destroy the country from within. People can scoff at it, but you won't prove otherwise. You try to prove it otherwise, you will fail. Denial won't make it go away. But face it head on. You'll know which way to head, what to pray against, and even reverse it to a certain extent in your own lives. But it goes back way, way further than that. It just didn't start in 1954. Let's talk about when it started. When it really started was in the 10th century. But let's not go that far back. That's hard to grasp. I could. But let's grasp it a little closer in. Because this includes the whites and the blacks. And we've been all fooled since day one. And the principle lies within these two quotes so that you all will know I'm not speaking just on one cultural group at all. I'm speaking to everybody for what's happened to us all, but at different levels presented to different cultures. Put one on the high ground and one on the low ground, but both have been in the pot with the same enemy. And the quote. Two quotes to show you two of them that matched together. Goes something like this. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, Maxim Reflections of Goethe, says, and I quote, "No one is more of a slave than he who thinks himself free without being so," unquote. And Dresden James said, and I quote, "The ideal tyranny is that which is ignorantly self-administered by its victims. The most perfect slaves are, therefore, those which blissfully and unwaredly enslave themselves." Now, this was not the case of the blacks, but it's absolutely the case of you white folk out there, and you didn't even know it. So let's begin. You thought I began, didn't you? No, not really. You see, the first Africans in America arrived in Jamestown, Virginia in 1619. And they arrived as indentured labor or servants. Now, from about 1619 A.D. Now, remember, America was targeted as the continent to start the mixed races biologically intermixing together from the world population. Family, that was planned in the 11th century. 1425, it was put into effect. And 1492, an Illuminati named Columbus put it into effect. And thus the integration and invasion of North American continent to put all the mixed races into one continent began. There's your history. Columbus was a real low-life individual. He was Illuminati. He came out of Spain. He was a Luciferian. He worshipped Lucifer. He was part of the royal family of Spain and the Roman Catholic Church. So by the year 1400, let's see, 50 to 68 million people were slaughtered by the Roman Catholic Church between 1200 A.D. and 1800 A.D. So by 1492, 1500, you have 300 years of mass slaughter by the Roman Catholic Church. So you figure around 25 million people, give or take, were mass slaughtered by the year 1490s. That was by design. You know why? To get them to move out of Europe into an unknown area for religious freedom was the trigger. That was the only purpose for Columbus, the only purpose for mass slaughter of human beings by the Roman Catholic Church from Spain. It's called the Inquisition. You ever heard of it before? Let's not forget about it, okay? Because it's coming back again. But nevertheless, that's what that was for. To get people, get the Mexicans from Mexico to move from Mexico and other places, the CIA made sure that kill teams in Mexico were just going to slaughter people, and that's going to cause you want to get the heck out of Mexico and go in the United States. To force feed blacks, the second culture required the first culture, whites, to already be here. So the third culture would be the blacks. So the first culture was indigenous Indians. Mexico, the Mexicans. Man, America belongs to Indians. Of course, now we have our heritage here. It's a given. But before 1400s, no, sir. America, excuse me, the North American continent belonged to Indians. They were here first. Now, I'm white, Anglo-Saxon, Scotch-Irish, little bit of Cherokee going on there, but not enough to make me, you know, say, Indians here first. No. I'm telling you like it is. And just like they got Arabs from the Middle East in Stockholm, Sweden, to integrate again to cause trouble. Now, what Arab in his right mind, come on now, really, is going to leave his desert environment he's been raised in to go to Stockholm, Sweden, with his doggone polar bears? Unless he's set up to do that. Well, the rule is around 250,000, give or take, of any culture into another. That's when the Jesuits start their infusion of changing rituals, customs, to start conflict, to bring order. Around 200,000 of one culture infused into another. That's their criteria for these murderous Jesuits. That's why they take a census. Once they got the required number of people in that culture, then they start changing the culture of the indigenous. Well, same thing for America, or the North American continent. Indians are here, had everything going on good. What white folk living comfortably in his generations and generations in Europe is going to sail 3,000 miles or whatever to fall off the face of the planet they didn't know, to leave his homeland, to go to a place he had no idea where he's going, no idea what he's going to do when he gets there, to leave? Well, being murdered might be a good push. And not being able to worship your God the way you want to will be another good push. And the Mayflower did some pushing. And here we are today. You got it? Okay. And that's exactly what happened. The biggest plan was to bring all the cultures together so now they can all intermix together. So when you have no more racial differences, you'll have no more conflict, and you'll be able to execute a new world order. Now, you think that's speculation? I hope you think I think it's speculation. You know why I think I hope it? Because then we'll show you you're wrong. Quote, by the way, One second. Red Fog of America by William G. Carr, 1955, first edition. And I'm going to list a specific name you've heard before. Quote, William G. Carr, after the nations have been merged into an international state, New World Order, the directors intend to crown the head of the Illuminati, King Despot of the Universe. That's the Antichrist family. Continuing, quote, the agentur of the Illuminati will, quote, next proceed to eradicate racial characteristics by mixing the black, red, yellow, and white races. This experiment has already been carried out on a large scale. Quote, Dr. Brock Chisholm has advocated on a Canadian broadcasting corporation that, quote, his quote, you got the quote? Brock Chisholm said, I quote, by mixing the races, all racial problems would disappear, unquote. You know what they planned to do after that, back in the 40s, 50s? Quote, the next step in this diabolical plan would be to render the masses docile and obedient to their masters, accomplished by mass medication. Experiments along these lines have already been conducted since the year 1900 A.D. Fluoridation fits perfectly in this phase of this conspiracy, unquote. And, of course, later we know as Coca-Cola with cocaine. Then later we know as Coca-Cola, and we know ELF transmission, and we know mind manipulation, Bernard, and you got the rest of the point, right? See how it's been working out? So now, the first culture, Indians, already here. Second culture, whites, 1492. Now we got two cultures in. They welcomed us, and we backstabbed the Indians. Let's call it for what it really is. So 200 years later, 1500, about 100 years later, the third group comes in, Africans. Now, they're not allowed to just come in. They're abducted. Third culture now brought in. Now, are we up to date? Okay. So from about 1619 to 1640, the laws throughout Europe and the Americas removed all human individuality from the abducted Africans and actually named them property. Now you see what I told y'all, white folk, because you're property since 1929 because of your birth certificate and Social Security number. So don't be puffing your chest out, because you're just as much a slave now, today, as any of them are. You just don't know it. The U.S. Supreme Court and Justice Roger B. Taney, see, he ensured that the law did not protect slaves, imbued their white oppressors, who physically, mentally, and psychologically abused them, with full supremacy. So now you know, when it says in Red Fog of America, this experiment has already been carried out on a large scale. Now you know what that means. It was a slavery back in the 1600s. The Honorable, tongue in cheek, I say that grudgingly, judge wrote, no Negro, whether slave or free, could either be considered a citizen of the United States. The quote-unquote so-called honorable judge wrote. You know, in 1640, Maryland, was the first colony of institutionalized slavery in America. And in 1641, Massachusetts, in its first written legislation titled, quote, Body of Liberties, stated that bondage was legal servitude. In that moment, changing the status of the African hostages to automatic chattel slaves that could be bought and sold at discretion of their white owners. Shall I update that so you can put it in proper perspective? In 1929, bondage is legal servitude. And at the moment of 1929, changed the status of white and African American hostages to also automatic chattel slaves by use of their birth certificate and Social Security card. And then you can be bought and sold at discretion of the Chinese debt holders at the stock market. Y'all better wake up and come together and quit fighting each other. Because you got the same enemy. Same thing, you white folk on the militia side and the feds on one side. Did you know that shooting there in Charleston? Remember that white cop just past couple of days shot that black guy running 8 times in the back? Long story short, did you know both of them were in the Coast Guard at one time or another? They were both servicemen in the same Coast Guard. What have I told y'all? Militia? Feds? Didn't y'all go to Iraq together? Now you bunch of nutballs come back here fighting each other. What's wrong with you? At the Bundy Ranch. You letting the Bundys, Illuminati, and Freemasons drive you? What are you doing? Now what are you doing? When you feds are going to say, wait, we're tired of this. We're not going to fight each other anymore. And when you militia guys are going to realize some of your generals or members of secret societies are driving you to kill yourselves. When you going to tell the general to stick it up his wazoo and take a star and stick it up his nose? Because he's a secret society member. He's a liar. Not some Malta, not some Columbus, Rhodes Scholars. They lie to you and will see you dead before they give up their blood oath. Let's go back. Maryland was the first colony to institutionalize slavery in America. 1641, Massachusetts. Written legislation titled Body of Liberty stated the bondage was legal servitude. You Yankees are tricky folks out there. But the South, oh, you got a lot to answer for. So to make sure it worked in 1619, 1640, 1712, the Rothschilds hired a man by the name of Willie Lynch from Barbados to come over and teach the white folk in the South how to be better slave owners. I'm sorry, my mistake. From the West Indies. He's a black man. Rich one, too. He knew how to make slaves. So they hired him. 17 and 12. He started teaching the white folk how to make a better slave. Is that sick or what? And here's what he did. Part one. You're not going to like this. But America, you better open up your eyes. And you better see it from the way God looks at it. Because the curse goes through 4 generations. He said, and here we go. Gentlemen, I greet you here on the bank of the James River in the year of our Lord, 1712. First, gentlemen, I shall thank you, the gentlemen of the colony of Virginia, for bringing me here. I am here to help you solve some of your problems with slaves. Your invitation reached me on my modest plantation in the West Indies, where I've experimented with some of the newest and still the oldest methods for control of slaves. Ancient Rome would envy us if my program is implemented. As our boat sailed on the James River, named for an illustrious king, whose version of the Bible we cherish, I saw enough to know that your problem is not unique. While Rome used cords of wood as crosses for standing human bodies along the old highway in great numbers, you here are using the tree and the rope on occasion. I caught the whiff of a... I caught the whiff of a dead slave hanging from a tree a couple of miles back. You're not only losing valuable stock by hangings, you're having uprisings, slaves are running away, your crops are sometimes left in the fields too long for maximum profit. You suffer occasional fires and your animals are killed. Gentlemen, you know what your problems are. I do not need to elaborate. I'm not here to enumerate your problems. I'm here to introduce you to a method of solving them. In my bag here, I have a foolproof method of controlling your black slaves. I guarantee every one of you that if it's installed correctly, it will control the slaves for at least 300 years. Did y'all get that? My method is simple. Any member of your family or your overseer can use it. I've outlined a number of differences among the slaves. I take these differences and make them bigger. I use fear, distrust, and envy for control purposes. Break. I want to remind you, white folk, black folk, that these same techniques are being used today on you now. It's just been modified based on the changing situation over the generations and decades. I just want to remind you to make sure you know that. Continuing. Quote, these methods have worked on my modest plantation in the West Indies and will work throughout the South. Take this simple little list of differences and think about them. On top of my list is age, but it's there only because it starts with an A. The second is color or shade. There is intelligence, size, sex, status on plantation, attitude of owners. Whether the slaves live in the valley or on a hill, east, west, north, south, have fine, coarse hair, or is tall or short. Now that you have a list of differences, I shall give you an outline of action. But before that, I shall assure you that distrust is stronger than trust. And envy is stronger than adulation, respect, or admiration. The black slave, after receiving this indoctrination, shall carry on and will become self-refueling and self-generating for hundreds of years, maybe thousands. Don't forget, you must pitch the old black male versus a young black male, and the young black male against the old black male. You must use the dark-skinned slaves versus the light-skinned slaves, and the light-skinned slaves versus the dark-skinned slaves. You must also have your white servants and overseers distrust all blacks. But it's necessary that your slaves trust and depend on us. They must love, respect, and trust only us. Gentlemen, These kits are your keys to control. Use them. Have your wives and children use them. Never miss an opportunity. If used intensely for 1 year, the slaves themselves will remain perpetually distrustful. Thank you, gentlemen. Now, let's make a slave. So the origin and development of a social being called the Negro, it began. When he says, let's make a slave, he said, what do we need? First of all, we need a black, and I am not going to say the word. The word that is in front of me is disgusting. It starts with an N, and I cannot bring myself to say it. It's N-I-G, and I find this word absolutely abhorrent, disgusting, and immediately, anyone I hear say this, whether it's a family member, I don't care who it is, I'm gone. I don't want to hear no more from them. This is just me. You can do what you want to with it, but this word, I'm not going to say the word on the air. I absolutely hate this word. It starts with an N. I want you to know that. First of all, we need this, a black N-word man, a pregnant N woman, and her baby N boy. Secondly, we will use the same basic principle that we use in breaking a horse, combined with some more sustaining factors. We reduce them from the natural state in nature, whereas nature provides them with the natural capacity to take care of their needs and the needs of their offspring. We break that natural string of independence from them and create a dependency state so we may be able to get them useful production for our business and pleasure. Now, the cardinal principles for making a Negro, and the word I was going to use is worse than that. It's abhorrent. For fear for our future generations may not understand the principles of breaking both horses and men. What we do, we lay down the art. For if we are to sustain our basic economy, we must break both the beast together, the N-word and the horse. We understand that short-range planning and economics results in periodic economic chaos, so that to avoid turmoil in the economy, it requires us to have breadth and depth in long-range comprehensive planning, articulating both skill and sharp perception. We lay down the following principles for long-range comprehensive economic planning. Number one, both the horse and the N-word are no good to the economy in the wild or natural state. Number two, both must be broken and tied together for orderly production. Three, for orderly futures, special and particular attention must be paid to the female and the youngest offspring. Number four, both must be crossbred to produce a variety and division of labor. Number five, both must be taught to respond to a particular new language. And finally, number six, psychological and physical instruction of containment must be created for both. Now, we hold the above six cardinals as truth to be evident, as based upon the following discourse concerning the economics of breaking and tying the horse and N-word together, all inclusive of the six principles laid down above. A particular note, neither principles alone will suffice for good economics. All the principles must be employed for the orderly good of the nation. Accordingly, both a wild horse and a wild or natural N-word is dangerous, even if captured, for they will have the tendency to seek their customary freedom. and in doing so, might kill you in your sleep. You cannot rest. They sleep while you're awake, and are awake while you're asleep. They're dangerous near the family house, and requires too much labor to watch them away from the house. So above all, you cannot get them to work in this natural state. Hence, both the horse and the inward must be broken. That is, break them from one form of mental life to another. An important point, gentlemen. Keep the body, but take the mind. In other words, break the will to resist. Now, this breaking process is the same for the horse and the inward, only slightly varying in degrees. But as we said before, you must keep your eye focused on the female and the offspring of the horse and the inward. A brief discourse in offspring development will shed light on the key to sound economic principles. Pay little attention to the generation of original breaking, but concentrate on future generations. Therefore, if you break the female, she will break the offspring in its early years of development. And when the offspring is old enough to work, she will deliver it up to you. For her normal female protective tendencies will have been lost in the original breaking process. For example, take the case of the wild stud horse. A female horse is already infant horse, and compare the breaking process with two captured inwards, males, in their natural state. A pregnant inward woman and her infant offspring. Take the stud horse, break him for limited containment. Completely break the female horse until she becomes very gentle, whereas you or anyone else can ride her in comfort. Breed the mare and the stud until you have the desired offspring. Let me say that again. Breed the mare and the stud until you have the desired offspring. Then you can turn the stud to freedom until you need him again. Train the female horse whereby she will eat out of your hand, and she will train the infant horse to eat out of your hand also. Now, when it comes to breaking the uncivilized inward, use the same process, but vary the degree and step up the pressure so as to do a complete reversal of the mind. Take the meanest, the most restless inward, strip him of his clothes, that in front of the remaining male inwards, the female and the inward infants, tar and feather him, tie each leg to a different horse, face in opposite directions, set him on fire, beat both horses to pull him apart in front of the remaining inwards. And so the next step is to take a bull whip and beat the remaining inward males to the point of death in front of the female and the infants. Don't kill them, but put the fear of God in them, for he can be useful for future breeding. Family, this was in America. In the 1700s, carried through till 1860s, all the way up to 1920s. It never stopped until 1960. So you white folk better have some appreciation of what has happened in this country and come out of your stupor and realize what's been done. And black folk, you got a lot of forgiving to do. And y'all better get together, because you got the same enemy. Continuing, quote, the breaking process of the African woman. Take the female and run a series of tests on her to see if she will submit to your desires willingly. Test her in every way. because she is the most important factor for good economics. If she shows any signs of resistance in submitting completely to your will, do not hesitate to use the bullwhip on her to extract that least bit of B-I-T, you know, out of her. I'm not going to say that word either. I hate that word too. Take care not to kill her, for in doing so, you spoil good economics. When in complete submission, she will train her offspring in the early years to submit to labor when they become of age. Now, understanding is the best thing. Therefore, we shall go deeper into the area of the subject matter concerning what we have produced here in this breaking of the female inward. We have reversed the relationships. In her natural uncivilized state, she would have strong dependency on the uncivilized inward male, and she would have limited protective dependency toward her independent male offspring, and would raise female offspring to be dependent like her. Nature has provided for this type of balance. We have reversed nature by burning and pulling one civilized inward stud apart, bullwhipped the others to the point of death, all in her presence. By her being left alone, unprotected, with the male image destroyed, the ordeal caused her to move from her psychological dependent state to a frozen independent state. In this frozen psychological state of independence, she will then raise her male and female offspring in the reversed roles. This is for fear of the young male's life. She will psychologically train him to be mentally weak and dependent, but physically strong. Because she's become psychologically independent, she will train her female offspring to be psychologically independent as well. What have you got? You've got the inward woman out front and the inward man behind and scared. This is perfect situation for sound sleep and economics. Now, before the breaking process, we had to be alert and on guard at all times. Now, we can sleep soundly for out of frozen fear. His woman stands guard for us. He cannot get past her early infant slave molding process. He's a good tool, now ready to be tied and the horse at a tender age. So by the time the inward boy reaches the age of 16, he is soundly broken in and ready for a long life of sound and efficient work and the reproduction of a unit of good labor force. So, continually, through the breaking of uncivilized, savage, inward, plural form, by throwing the female inward, savage, into a frozen psychological state of independence, by killing the protective male image, and by creating a submissive, dependent mind of the inward male slave, we have created an orbiting cycle that turns on its own axis forever. Unless a phenomena occurs and reshifts the position of the male and female savages. We know what we mean by example. Take the case of two economic slave units and examine them closely. So the Negro marriage unit goes like this. Gentlemen, that's what it says. I use that word very loosely when I have given you this word for word. Continuing. We breed two inward males with two inward females. Then we take the inward males away from them and keep them moving and working. Say the inward female bears a inward female and the other bears an inward male. Both inward females, being without influence of the inward male image, frozen with independent psychology will raise their offspring in reverse positions. The one with a female offspring will teach her to be like herself, independent, negotiable, will negotiate with her, through her, by her, negotiate her at will. But the one with the inward male offspring, she being frozen with a subconscious fear for his life, will raise him to be mentally dependent and weak, but physically strong. In other words, body over mind. Now in a few years, when these two offspring become fertile for early reproduction, we will mate and breed them and continue this cycle over and over. And that's good. Sound and long-range comprehensive planning. A warning, though, possible interloping negatives. See, earlier, we talked about the non-economic good of the horse and the inward in their wild and natural state. We talked out of the principle of breaking and tying them together for orderly production. Furthermore, we talked about paying particular attention to the female savage and her offspring for orderly future planning. Then more recently, we stated that by reversing the positions of the male and the female savages, we have created an orbiting cycle that turns on its own axis forever, unless phenomena occurred and reshifted the position of the male and female savages. Now, our experts we brought in warned us about the possibility of this phenomenon occurring. For they say that the mind has a strong drive to correct and recorrect itself over a period of time. And that is if it can touch some substantial, original, historical base. And they advise us that the best way to deal with this phenomenon is to shave off the brute's mental history and create a multiplicity of phenomena or illusions so that each illusion will twirl its own orbit. Something like floating balls in the vacuum. Now, this creation of multiplicity of phenomena or illusion entails the principles of crossbreeding the inward and the horse, as we stated above. The purpose of which is to create a diversified division of labor. Now, the results of which is the severance of the points of the original beginning for each spherical illusion. More explicitly, since we feel that the subject matter may get more complicated as we proceed laying down our economic plan concerning the purpose and reason and effect of crossbreeding horses and inward, we shall lay down the following definitional terms for all future generations. Number one, the orbiting cycle means a thing turning in a given pattern. Number two, the axis means upon which or around which a body will turn. Three, a phenomena means something beyond ordinary conception and inspires awe and wonder. Four, multiplicity means a great number. Five, a sphere means a globe. Six, crossbreeding a horse means taking a horse, breeding it with an ass, and you get a dumb, backward ass, long-headed mule that's not reproductive nor productive by itself. Number seven, crossbreeding the inward, plural, means taking so many drops of good white blood. Oh. And putting them into as many inward women as possible. Varying the drops by the various tones that you want. And then letting them breed each other until the circle of colors appears as you desire. What this means is this. Put the inward, plural, and the horse in the breeding pot. Mix some asses and good white blood. And what do you get? Well, you got a multiplicity of colors of ass backwards, unusual inwards, running, tied to backward ass long-headed mules. The long productive itself the other sterile. The one constant, the other dying. We keep the inward one constant, for we may replace the mule for another tool. Both mule and the inward tied to each other, neither knowing where the other came from, and neither productive for itself, nor without each other. Finally, control language. Crossbreeding is now completed. For further severance from the original beginning, we must completely annihilate the mother tongue of both the inward and the new mule. Institute a new language that involves the new life's work of both. You know, language is a particular institution. A peculiar institution. It leads to the heart of the people. The more a foreigner knows about the language of another country, the more he is able to move through the all levels of that society. Therefore, if the foreigner is an enemy of the country, and that to the extent that he knows the body of the language, to the extent is the country vulnerable to attack or invasion of a foreign culture. For example, you take a slave. If you teach him all about your language, he will know all your secrets. He is then no more a slave, for you can't fool him any longer. And having a fool is one of the best ingredients, basic ingredients of, without instances, to making the slave system work. For example, if you told the slave he must perform in getting out our crops, and he knows the language well, he would know that our crops didn't mean our crops. And the slavery system would break down. He would relate on the basis of what our crops really meant. So you have to be careful in setting up new language, or the slave would soon be in your house. I'm talking to you as man to man. And that's death to your economic system. Continuing. In addition, the definition of words or terms are only a minute part of the process. Values are created and transported by communication through the body of language. A total society has many interconnected value systems, and all these values in the society have bridges of language to reconnect them for orderly working in the society. But for these language bridges, these many value systems would sharply clash and cause internal strife for civil war. The degree of the conflict being determined by the magnitude of the issues or relative opposing strength for whatever far. For example, if you put a slave in a hog pen, train to live there and incorporate him to value it as a way of life completely, the biggest problem you would have out of him would be that he'd worry you about provisions to keep the hog pen clean or partially clean, or he might not worry you at all. And finally, on the other hand, if you put the same slave in the same hog pen and make him a slip and incorporate them for something his language, whereby it comes to value a house more than it does his hog pen, you got a problem. He'll soon be in your house. End quote, 1712. Now you see how the culture's developed. Do you know that Lincoln was an avatar? Did you know that Lincoln, his role, was Emancipation Proclamation, 1860, to now release the blacks in the population? With this kind of attitude, this beaten down, now free, setting up for the civil rights 100 years later. To cause, you see what they've done? They planned generations ahead. So they beat down the blacks in our country from 1865 to 1960. And you wonder why they're ticked off? Well, no doggone wonder. Well, I got news for you, folks. The Reverend Richard Allen was founder of America's first black denomination. Did you know that the Reverend Henry Highland Garnett was the first African-American to deliver a sermon in Congress? Did you know that the Reverend Hiram Rhodes Revels was the first black U.S. senator? Ha ha! How about Joseph Hayne Rainey, he's the first African-American elected to U.S. Congress. And Jefferson Franklin Long was the first African-American to give a speech in the U.S. House. And John Rock, he was the first African-American admitted to the U.S. Supreme Court bar. And John Roy Lynch, was the first African-American to preside over a national political convention. And the Reverend Frederick Douglass was the first African-American to be appointed to office in four different presidential administrations. And look what they had to go through. And look where they went. Look what they've accomplished. They fought in the Civil War. Fought in every war we've been in. World War I, World War II. George Washington crossing the Delaware. When are y'all going to get together and cut this crap out? When you white folk on one side of the Bundy Ranch and militia or whatever going to get back with the veterans that you fought with that are now FEMA members? What the devil is wrong with you people out there? You done lost your fool mind? Civil War? 500,000 Americans killing each other and you're going to do it again. Can't you see that somebody's driving y'all against each other? The same ones that controls the KKK controls the Black Panthers to cause y'all to fight each other. And it's working, and you're still going to do it. I got 6 more minutes to go in this program, and I think I'll make some popcorn. Family, you see now what happened in the 1960s? You've been primed for the civil rights movement for over 100 years by design. They projected it. Since 1400. Been through all this to get you there. Family, the point is, it's been planned by the Jesuits. Illuminati. Italian Illuminati. To use America as the melting pot. To bring in the New World Order. All the cultures have come here by design. There's another reason for that, too. I've got about 3-4 minutes to go, and I'll tell you exactly the reason why. If I get to it quick enough here. I figured out one day why they picked America. Of course, I got till tomorrow to part 2. I wouldn't miss tomorrow if I was you. And we'll cover some more. I know some of you don't want to hear this, but now you understand why. Where in this world is there a country that has all the wealth of the earth? It's in America. Where in this world is there a country that can combine all the races genetically? It's in America. Where in the world is there the technology has been centered itself on? It's America. Where in the world has there been a reserve currency and protected? That's America. Where in the world is there the draw for the number one enemy of Satan in one location to placate us and stay there? That's America. Where in the world do you find all the vacation land and wonderland and playground of all kinds of seasons? Where on earth is that? America. Where in the world is there a country that has all the land for the necessary elements needed for witchcraft and alchemy, including salt America. What in the New World Order centered itself as the UN, America? European Illuminatis kept the United States in check until they're done with it. In debt since 1789, everybody's been a slave. Using the same principles I've just described on you white folk, and you didn't even know it. It's working today, exactly like Lynch planned. Now you know why it's all set up? Now tomorrow I'm going to cover more detail and the techniques they've used. I've given the lowdown today. And now they've got us all in one little box here. I'm going to show you how they put it all together in specific ways of population control, contamination, detainment camps, moral corruption, racial dissension, removal of God, eucumenism, drugs, alcohol, gambling, chaos, cover-ups, sexual perversion. I got it all listed. I can tell you how they've got it all worked out. And they've really expanded Lynch, Willie Lynch's letter, let me tell you. We'll talk about all that tomorrow. About the children, about the education, about the religion, and how they've set it up in distinct detail. Can y'all handle that? To know where you are today and why they are doing things in the education system now today. Why core education? Why Bundy Ranch? Why Jade Helm? Why all this is going on? I've just started explaining just the root of it. Just a bad tad. This is why it's all going on. I just told you today. It all involves this root system I've explained for the past 2 hours. Y'all. Well, family, remind you all that tomorrow, I'll be here 4 to 6, hopefully. Tonight, 8 to 9, Bible study. And also remind you that my broadcasts and Bible studies are played up at highpointradio.net. Highpointradio.net. And John Kirkler controls highpointradio.net. He's got towers up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And he has sponsors there, and he plays my broadcasts and Bible studies. You can find his sponsors and help him do that, because he has those towers in those states. My website is watchmanforjesus.com, watchmanforjesus.com. And my Facebook is watchmanforjesus. And, family, we're at the end. The whole idea is to tell you exactly what's going on so you'll come together, not fight apart. That you all in the same victim status will no longer be a victim. Jesus Christ is the only way. Literally. Because they've lost already. And you don't think God's not going to judge for what's happened here? You better believe He's going to. Y'all have a good night. God bless. And know and be blessed. Make a difference. Come together. Not fight apart. You see? Because you've been in the same... White folk, you're just as much a slave now. You didn't even know it. They've used the same techniques on you. But in subtle ways. And they're going to spring on you in nasty ways. On everybody. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the blacks learned that early because of their slave days. And they're going to teach you when it gets ugly because they've been there. You haven't. You have otherwise, but that's where y'all going to have to come together. You have to come together. Good night, God bless. This is your watchman, Thomas Gamble. I'm signing off.
Was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release. Every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.